bring it home every evening just to throw it in the trash.
Well, hello, everybody. You are listening to Max Inc. Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Rocker here with Rob Roberts and Sam Davison, who's sitting in for Jimmy K tonight. That was Ben Sidran and the title track to his latest album, Rainmaker. International jazz legend Ben Sidran will be in Wisconsin at the North Street Cabaret in Madison, performing with his son, Leo Sidran, on September 3rd and 4th. Leo Sidran is a Grammy-winning multi-instrumental musician, producer, arranger, composer, recording artist, and journalist.
Man.
And after playing professionally as a teenager with the legendary Steve Miller Band, he established himself as a versatile artist at ease as a band leader with 8 solo albums in his discography. Leo is also the son of jazz legend Ben Sidran and a Madison native. And Leo currently resides in Brooklyn, New York. And Leo is back in Wisconsin for 2 shows coming up on August 22nd in Milwaukee at Bar Cento and August 24th at the North Street Cabaret in Madison. On the phone with us right now is Leo Sidran. Leo, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Wow, thank you so much for that extensive introduction. I'm sorry to have put you through that.
No, hold on a second. Rocker, I heard played with Steve Miller Band as a teenager, like live, like recordings. Like, what album were you on?
So there was an album called Wide River, which I think may, in fact, even still to this day, be his last record of original songs. It came out in 1993. I was 16 years old at the time, and it really came about because my dad was in the band. He was on tour with Steve every summer. They had been working together. My dad Ben and Steve met at the University of Wisconsin in the 60s, and they worked together in the early versions of the Steve Miller Band. Then they went their separate ways, and when I was in high school, they sort of reconnected. And that was just right at the time that I started writing songs myself. And so every song I would write, I would play it for Steve, Uncle Steve. Here's another song I wrote. And he,
man, that's
you
awesome.
Know, he responded.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Wow, that is really cool. Leo, let's go back to the beginning and get your backstory. I usually ask about, you know, parents' role in your career, but we know your dad is a jazz legend, Ben Sidran.
Right.
So tell us about your introduction to music and how your father must have played a role in those early years. How did you get started playing and what did you play?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's actually harder to answer than you might think, only because I can't remember a time when music wasn't a huge part of my life and what how I saw myself and all of that. So it's not like I ever really felt like I was making a decision. You know, at some point in my early childhood, a drum set showed up in our house and we started playing piano, and I would just bash on the drums next to my dad while he played piano. We would jam. It wasn't serious at all. We talked about it like, you know, the way some fathers and sons would go kick a ball or throw a ball around or whatever. We would just get after dinner or in the afternoon, whatever it was, we would just kind of bash it out together. And so it never felt really serious. It just was something we did. And it sort of just grew from there.
Wow. That's incredible. And so, tell us about Leo Sidran, the artist, and the journey to establish your own identity in the music industry.
Wow, these are great questions. Well, I guess I started out, as I said, you know, playing for fun, and I also was writing songs very early. And you know, maybe one thing that was, especially for my generation, I'm in my 40s now, so you know, I think today young people coming of age are more aware of what it is to write a song and that people have a lot of technology and access. Mm-hmm. But when I was growing up, it was maybe not so common to think that you could write your own songs at 6 and 7 and 8 years old. And,
right.
And I was very interested in writing songs.
Yeah.
Or be in a studio to understand what that is, even just to have any familiarity with what that felt like and how music was put together, how it was constructed. And I was always very interested not only in how to play music, but also how to make a recording that sounded like a record that I heard. So my early years, like in middle school and high school, I was really into technology and gear. You know, I started with a 4-track cassette machine, then I got an 8-track machine, and ADATs, which were digital, early digital recording. I was really into that, and working on the computer and all of that stuff. So technology and production was always really woven into my understanding of what it was to be a musician. And because of that, and because I learned how to record early on, I also thought it was totally normal and acceptable to try to play all the instruments. So I started out on drums, but then I picked up guitar, and I was into keyboard, and I bought a bass and, you know, play bass on stuff. And so the people that I really looked up to were, like, you know, the kinds of musicians who could do it all themselves. Prince was hugely influential for me, not only as a, you know, because of the music he made, but because I knew that he could do it all himself. Oh my God, that's a possibility. You can play it all by yourself. And so that, you know, a big part of my early development was spent alone. I think a lot of people, when they start playing music, they play in bands, they get together in high school bands and jam together. I was a little bit unusual in that I spent a lot of hours as a young musician alone in the studio. And that's great. But then it does raise the question of, well, okay, well, what does that mean if you want to be an artist? What happens if you do want to perform? What happens if you do want to, like, one day leave the studio and play music in public for people? And that process was much longer and sort of less automatic for me. And that's where I think in some ways the other part of my background really came in handy, which was the jazz part of my background, because at the same time I was doing all that production investigation work alone in the, you know, in my little home studio, I also started playing mostly drums around town in Madison. And yeah, of course, because I had a musician father, I was lucky that he had other musician friends and that he trusted me to make a lot of mistakes in public with musicians who I had really no business playing with at the time. But everybody was very generous and encouraging. So, you know, in high school and in college, I played a lot around town of jazz gigs, and ended up connecting with musicians of, you know, from my generation who are still really important to me. But eventually, to kind of jump ahead to your question, who is Leo Sidran the artist? I think what has happened is I found a way to bring together all of the sort of experience that I had playing jazz music, and leaving enough room in the presentation of the music that I make for surprises to happen, for, you know, for there to be something unexpected, and combining that with the very sort of precise and specific way that I record music when I'm left alone. And that's kind of where I think I have landed in my life. It's a little bit, I guess, highfalutin answer, but that's kind of what I think is going on.
Perfect.
I had one part of my life that was spent writing songs alone in the studio, and the other part of my life that spent as a jazz musician on stage.
Now, you just spent the month of June touring with your dad, Ben Sidran, to support his latest record, Rainmaker, which you played on and produced. And we just heard that title track before the interview. How special is it to work with your father in recording and touring?
Yeah, it is really special. People my whole life have told me how special it is. You don't know how special this is. Wow, so special. I kind of rolled my eyes for a long time. And now I, over time, realize, wow, this is really special. This is really unique, and what a gift. And I'm in my late 40s. He turned 80 last year. Wow. He's 81 now. He just turned 81. And the idea that we still get to do this and we get to tour together and play, and he knows me probably better than anybody else on the planet. And I think maybe the same is, I could say, true of about me for him. I mean, we just understand so much about each other personally and musically that it is very comfortable and trusting and easy to work together. Of course, there were times when I was younger when maybe it wasn't quite as easy, but those days are behind us. And really right now, I think we both just realize what a special gift it is that we get to do this together.
So do you suffer from, like, a lot of dad jokes? or are you past the dad joke thing?
Well, now I am a dad, and right. I probably am guilty of more.
Does it come full circle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Oh my. Yeah. I mean, this is an interview that one day you could do with my daughter, and I'm sure she'll have her own answers. But if anybody's committing the crime of too many dad jokes, I think it's probably me.
Oh, that's funny. Well, now you have some shows coming up in Wisconsin. August 22nd, you're in Milwaukee at Bar Cento, and August 24th, yeah, here in Madison at the North Street Cabaret, and then you'll be playing a couple shows with your father at the 3rd and 4th in Madison here.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, let's give the drummer some, Clyde Stubblefield. And let's not forget the legendary jazz bassist, Richard Davis. You played with both of those music legends. Do you have any short quips?
Well, I mean, yeah, those are two very different people who, were, of course, were both active in Madison and really made the scene so special. Clyde was an old pal of my dad's going back to the early 70s when Clyde left the James Brown band to live in Madison. And so when that drum set arrived in my house, like I was telling you, when I was, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, the first quote unquote teacher who came over to show me anything was Clyde.
Wow. Teacher?
Yeah.
Professor.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Anybody who spent any time with Clyde knows that you don't really want him as your professor. You could learn a lot by watching him play and hearing him play, and you could learn a lot of different kind of information by just hanging out with him. But but he was the first person who, you know, put sticks in my hand and sort of showed me how the drum set operated. And so for my whole life in Madison, he was, you know, he was so supportive. He would, sometimes we played gigs together, two drums, me and him each playing the drum set at the same time. Sometimes I played guitar in bands where he played drums, and eventually he let me produce an album that we did together that eventually came out. It was called Clyde Stubblefield, The Original. And we made this kind of collaborative record together where he played drums and then I wrote kind of songs on top of everything that he played. And I then interviewed him and used the recordings of his interviews as almost as like a spoken word rap.
Wow.
Texture on the albums. So he was always really supportive and wonderful. And, you know, I appreciate you noticing that the word teacher is maybe questionable when it comes to Clyde, but I mean, how lucky were we all that he was our neighbor and friend for so long in Madison. You
know? That's right. Now, in September, you're off to record a new album with Spanish actress-singer Leonor Watling, and you'll be performing Madrid at the Café Berlin. Tell us about your upcoming album and trip.
Yeah, I appreciate that because, you know, when I mentioned to you some of my upcoming gigs, I actually thought it was kind of funny to say, well, I'll be in Madison and Milwaukee and Chicago, and then Madrid is the next gig after that. But that is my next one. I have been going to Spain a lot for years. I started going as a foreign exchange student when I was in high school, and then I studied there for a year in college, and it got me really connected with the language and the music there. And I've made it a real priority to just keep going back every year and stay connected there. So I've made these musical friendships with people. And one of them is this wonderful singer, Leonor Watling, who has suggested that we do an album together. So I'm going over there for a week to record with her, and then we'll do a gig at this cool club called the Café Berlin, which is only makes it more confusing. It's in Madrid, but it's called the Café Berlin. And so, I mean, I don't know much. It's songs, mostly songs that I've written, and she's going to sing, and I've got this collection of musicians that I work with over there who are going to join me in the studio and on stage. So it's, you know, next time we talk, I'll probably know more about it, but it's kind of crazy. I'm start this trip in Madison move through the Midwest a little bit, and then go directly to Madrid before flying back home to Brooklyn at the end of the in the middle of September.
Well, make sure we get some new music when that comes out. Leo, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us tonight. We really appreciate it. Leo is back in Wisconsin next week at the Bar Cento in Milwaukee on August 22nd and the North Street Cabaret in Madison on August 24th, plus shows with his father, Ben Sidran, at North Street Cabaret on September 3rd and 4th. Get Leo Sidran's latest album, What's Trending, and keep up with his busy schedule at leosidran.com. Right now, let's listen to the title track from his latest album. This is Leo Sidran and What's Trending. You're listening to MagSync Radio. We are local music.
I know what you need to think. I know how you need to walk. I know what you need to drink.